To Stephen, then.
He's got it down because of this.
Have we?
Did you hear that?
No.
Because he lives.
Thank you. No. Thank you very much.
God sent his son.
Thank you, son. They call him Jesus. He came to die.
Thank you.
Now let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. We come to you, O God. We've just been singing about how you sent your Son into the world. We thank you, for you are a wonderful God. You are a great and amazing Father. You are a great and wonderful Saviour. The Son that came and died on the cross that we might be saved. And as we've also been singing, as Jesus promised, when he returned to be with the Father, the Spirit would come and visit us all. And we know what it means to have the Spirit involved in our lives. We want to thank you for the gift of the Spirit, for the power of the Spirit, for the gifts that are given to us, for the fruit of the Spirit, that by the power of the Spirit we can reveal in our own lives. Oh, what a wonderful God we have, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we want to emphasize our love for your greatness, O God, for you are great. You are wonderful, you are powerful, you are loving, you are forgiving, you are patient. Oh, what a wonderful God. And we want to give you all the praise and the glory, for you are our God. We pray for your world. We pray that the time might come when peace will reign in your world. We pray for all people in authority in all the nations that make up your world. Lord, some know you and they obey your will. Others do not know you And Lord, they need desperately your guidance. We know, Lord, that if peace is to reign in this world, then there needs to be a sense of love one for another in all nations. Lord, we hasten the time. We ask that the time will come soon when we can all live together in peace, in harmony, united as your people. We thank you for our own country. We thank you, Lord, for those who serve in authority. Give them your wisdom. And Lord, as we come before you, we want to thank you for all the people that work for the benefit of all people. Yes, Lord, professionals, volunteers, all doing great and wonderful work among us. And we thank you, Lord, for all that they do. And we pray, Lord, that you will work through them continually, that we might know the power of your love, the power that you exhibit through other people, for you are a wonderful God. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for the failures that we might commit, for the mistakes we might make. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to be closer and closer to you. We desire a greater fellowship with you. We desire, Lord, a mature faith, one that will be at all times excited because we follow you. So, Lord, will you pave out our future? You know what each one of us are thinking at this moment. But Lord, you know what's best for us. You have a will. You have a way for us. Lord, may we hear your voice. May we obey your word. May we obey your call. May we walk daily with you. We pray for each other. We pray for our family and friends. Pray for all the people that we are concerned for. You know what our private prayers are. But Lord, as a fellowship this morning, we want especially to pray for Rita. She's having that operation at 4 o'clock tomorrow on her tongue. Day surgery. Lord, be with her. And we pray, Lord, that this time that operation might be successful and the problem on the tongue will be completed, healed, completed, Lord. So, Lord, be with her and her family and be with each one of us. Keep us closer and closer to yourself, Lord. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Let us join together in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now over to Rachel, who brings God's word to us today.
James 5, verses 7 to 12, patience and suffering. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, for you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
Stifling.
Sorry about that. We now come to the Lord's Word as James brings it to us. The power of patience. And I stand or I sit here as one who is greatly, what shall I say, challenged, because I am not the most patient of people. I had a father who I was probably too young to remember the incident, but he came home from work and his dinner was cold and he broke not just the dinner service, he broke every piece of china in the house. But I should have learnt, because the same man, when my mother was ill and could do no work in the home, he cleaned, he cooked, he helped to wash her, he did everything. He was a man who had originally believed that the man's job is to go out to work, the woman's job is to do everything in the home. But he ended up doing everything himself, and he became very patient. And when I look at it, I think, well, surely, if one man can change and be as patient as that, why am I at times still impatient? And I have to confess, the things get me. For instance, when I'm driving and someone does something silly, oh dear. But the Lord knows, and I have to say to him when I lose my cool, forgive me, Lord. And I believe that not just patience, but any fault that we may have can, if we put our complete trust in God, can be healed. Gradually, we will grow more like the person that we should be. And what is that? We're told that eventually we should be like Jesus. Do you feel that you are like Jesus? We've got a long way to go, haven't we? But you know, the wonderful thing is, God can and he will undertake for us. So let's see what James says here in these verses. James begins his letter by appealing for patience. For as we've already seen, these Jewish Christians were having problems in their personal lives and in the church fellowship. Now, as his letter draws to a close, he again urges them to be patient. He has encouraged them to patiently endure until the Lord returns. So, how can we as Christians experience this kind of patient endurance as we wait for our Lord to return, or as we wait till the time we meet him face to face? James gives three encouraging examples of patient endurance. There's the farmer, there's the prophets, and there's Job. And from this, perhaps, we can learn to control our patience. Number one, then, is the farmer. Verses 7 to 9. You know, it would not be good for an impatient person to be a farmer, because no crop appears overnight, except, of course, a crop of weeds. And no farmer has control over the weather. Too much rain can cause the crop to rot, and too much sun can burn it up. An early frost can kill the crop. How patient the farmer must be with the weather. He must also have patience with the seed and the crop, for it takes time for plants to grow. Jewish farmers would plough and sow in what to us are the autumn months. The early rain would soften the soil. The later rain would come in the early spring and help to mature their harvest. The farmer had to wait many weeks for his seed to produce fruit. Why? Why does he wait so long? Because the fruit, of course, is precious. The harvest is worth waiting for. James pictures the Christian as a spiritual farmer, looking, of course, for a spiritual harvest. Our hearts are the soil, and the seed is the very word of God. There are seasons to the spiritual life, just as there are seasons to the soil. You see, sometimes our hearts become cold and wintry, and the Lord has to plough them up before he can plant the seed, because our mind's just not ready for the word. He sends the sunshine and the rains of his goodness to water and to nurture the seeds planted. But we must be patient to wait for the harvest. We must be patient as the Lord matures our faith. So when times are tough, God is producing a harvest in our lives. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to grow, and the only way he can do it is through trials and troubles. We must be patient, and we must yield to the Lord and permit the fruit of the Spirit to grow within our lives. And you know, we can only enjoy this kind of harvest when, of course, our faith is strong. A farmer does not stand around and do nothing. He is constantly at work, and he looks towards the harvest. Neither does the farmer get into fights with his neighbor. Oh, no. They help one another. And you know, I saw that when my parents took us down to Devon to a place called Coombe Fishacre. And they stayed at a little farm. And the farms around there where we stay were all very small. And it was amazing. When it came for harvest time, none of these farmers had their own harvester. They all shared the same one. So they had to plan it. They had to have a timetable that fitted in for all. There was a real example of people working together. And you know, when we become impatient with God, we usually, my friends, become impatient with each other. So we need to be careful, don't we? We need to learn perhaps from the farmer. And then James goes on to give us the example of the prophets, and that's found in verse 10. A Jewish congregation would understand this simple reference that Jesus made to the Old Testament. Prophets? Yes. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also used the prophets as an example of victory over persecution. So what encouragement do we receive from their example? You see, despite suffering, they continued to preach in the name of the Lord. They remind us that God cares for us even when we go through sufferings for his sake. So then, Why is it that Christians must often endure difficult times? It is so that our lives might back up our very testimony. The impact of a faithful, godly life, you know, carries a lot of power. We often say that in churches, a personal testimony means much more to the people who hear it than the preaching of the preacher. The impact of a faithful, godly life carries a lot of power. We learn from the prophets of old, and Scripture is reminded to teach us that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might, my friends, have hope. Yes, hope. And the last one, the example that James gives, is that of Job, which he mentions in verse 11. The book of Job is a long book, isn't it? And the chapters are filled with speeches that to us might seem long and rather tedious. But in these first three chapters, you have Job's distress. He loves his wealth, his family, but he loses them. He loses his wealth. He loses his family, except for his wife and his health. In chapters 4 to 31, we read that Job's defense, as he debates with his three friends and answer their false accusations. Oh, they would love for him to have given up God, but he stood fast. And chapters 38 to 42 tells us about Job's deliverance. First, God humbles Job, and then he honors Job, and he gives him twice as much as he had before. And you know, I've experienced that in my own life, early life, when we lived by faith. And again, when Dean came as a student to work with us, both cases there was little help, little finance. But by being faithful, God gave more than we could ever have expected. When studying Job, it is important to remember that he did not know what was going on behind the scenes. There was a battle between God and Satan. It is difficult to find a greater example of suffering than Job. I mean, he lost everything, didn't he? Terrible suffering. It looked as if God was against him. He cried to God, and he received no answers. Yet Job endured. He remained faithful. Job was a righteous man, and yet he suffered. Why did he suffer? God was able to reveal himself as a God full of compassion and mercy. And you know, that is the God that Job knew. He also met God in a new and deeper way. And after all that, Job received even greater blessings from the Lord than he had known before. So, let us learn that Satan wants us to become impatient with God. However, God never allows us to be tempted above beyond what we can in his strength bear. Remember the verse that Paul gave, "My grace is sufficient for you." So, above all, brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or earth, or by anything else. All we need to say, says Scripture, is a simple yes or no. Verse 12 may seem out of place, but it's not. Times of testing are used to improve our characters. The person who uses many words to convince others of their own goodness probably has something wrong with their character and must bolster their weakness by using words. But if we are true Christians with integrity, then all we have to say, says James, is yes or no. And then, he says, people will believe us. So, James encourages us to be patient. Bruce Porter, are you listening to that? Yes, sir. James encourages us to be patient, to work and to endure until the Lord returns or we meet him face to face. Amen. Let us stand and share the grace. Right. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Don't forget, I know.